I decided to try something new, and I just got taken to school. I got to eat some humble pie. I thought my audio was fine. I had tested beforehand, and it wasn't fine. It was really weird. So I don't know if this is just a PEBCAC error, problems just between keyboard and chair, or platform error. But the audio tested fine on one stream, and then I had some people in the chat tell me, hey, can't hear you. And sure enough, they were right. So we're going to do all this again. I'm going to go till 9 o'clock. I got time. So if you were watching before, you can now hear me. And if anything, I can redo what I just did. Good evening. My name is Travis Partington, host of Oscar Mike Radio. Oscar Mike Radio is part of Oscar Mike Radio is co-produced with Sinister Wind Productions. What's your podcast doing? Thank you, Facebook user, for checking in. Now I'm good, and I'm not quite good. I want to thank my sponsors, Joyce Asak of Asak Real Estate, Echo 6 Creations, Danielle Rocco, and my supporters, Kason Shaving Company, Exceptional Parent Magazine. Faye, I hope you're doing all right. And Fight Camp, Be Your Strongest Combination. It's number 474 with some hiccups. It happens, and I just got to deal with it and move on. And it just goes to show that no matter how long I've been doing this, I still got a lot to learn and do, especially when I try new things, but that's okay. We're here right now on New Year's Day, and if you're not watching football, traveling, or whatever, I want to thank you for giving me some time to come by and check this out. I'll talk about a couple things. How was your New Year's Day? My New Year's Day was great. Started off watching my niece, Jalen, who is a cheerleader dancer for the University of Indiana in the Rose Bowl parade. Yay, Jalen. It's just kind of hard to believe that one day they're just, you know, come here, Uncle Travis, and talk to me. And the next day, she's on national TV. It's crazy. And so, to my sister and her husband, you all did a great job, made a wonderful, wonderful young woman, and all the best. And as much as I'm supposed to cheer for the SEC first, because I'm an LSU fan, I can't lie. There was a bit of satisfaction watching Alabama get served some humble pie, especially after the year that I've had to deal with as an LSU fan. So it is what it is. And hey, my other niece, Kennedy, I'm sorry about Ohio State. I did not see that coming, where Miami really brought it to them. And hopefully, you all can get back in the winner's circle in the future, because wow, that was unexpected. So again, thank you for coming back on the stream. I'm here blabbing away, having a good time, and just enjoying life right now. Had a great workout today. That was humbling. I'm having to learn some new things for some competitions I'm getting ready for this year and next year, and got to be coachable, got to understand what you're doing well and what you're not doing well, and then go from there to make improvement and to beat the objective. And so I just had a couple things to talk about tonight, because I know people are traveling, people are, you know, still with family. And again, it's Friday, and I hope your Saturday and Sundays are safe and happy. We got a good bit of snow this morning. And so again, I hope that you are enjoying time with family, enjoying time with friends, making some great memories, but more importantly, getting back home safe. The main thing I've been asked about that I'm going to talk about now, because things kind of went cattywampus tonight, is I want to talk about the situation in Minnesota and why and how that kind of relates to veterans' advocacy issues, so on and so forth. The law is the law, and let's take away all the attributes that make up the alleged perpetrators for this crime: financial fraud, financial money laundering, financial theft are crimes. There's no two ways about it. And again, I keep telling people, you know, bank robbers used to use guns and high-speed chases, and now, if they do it right, they don't have to lift a finger. And what was happening was people were opening businesses and getting money from the government, federal, state, and local, to run these businesses, to provide services for people in need or people who could not afford these services. And child care, autism care are expensive things. And so the idea here is, hey, I'm going to open a business. I'm going to serve a certain segment of the population, and the federal government will reimburse me as if I'm providing those services. Now, I know my strict constitutionalists and libertarians will be like, hey, what is the federal government doing taking tax money and paying people to do this at all? And, you know, in an aspect, they're right. They're not wrong. But also, you know, one of the things that you can do in this country is, if you're a city, state, and you want to have a good business climate, you can give tax breaks, contracts, and have work done by people who are, you know, subject matter experts in that area. And therefore, you're not having to spin up an entire arm of government to do that work for you. And so, you know, hey, I am all about the government making business climates healthy and vibrant for success. And all you have to do is look at Texas and how they do things in order to make that happen. So I'm not against it. I'm not against it, but it's got to be done right. And again, it just amazes me that we're talking about $9 billion of financial fraud. Now, you got people who have a small business, a nonprofit, whatever, who make a $90 error on their taxes, and they've got the IRS breathing down their necks at them. You know, bad things happen if you misstate earnings or donations. If you're, you know, an executive director of a nonprofit and you get the money wrong, bad things happen. So how are you able to take $9 billion and with no weapons or anything, take the money in and then layer that money in other places? They know that money was going back to the country of origin and being layered with other community groups in that, you know, population group. And they're taking the money and running and laughing the entire time. And this is the other thing that I'm finding out is this was a known issue for a while. Like, people tried to make government aware of this for a while, and it fell on deaf ears. And I don't understand that, because, again, if you don't pay your property taxes in this state, or you're $9 short, $90 short, $900 short, they don't consider the taxes paid in full. They can put you in arrears and cause all kinds of heartache and trouble for you. They want that money. They want to know what's happening to it, where it's going, and all that stuff, right? So how did you let $9 billion just poof into vapor, into nothingness? It makes no sense to me. None. And, you know, I'm being told it's a race problem now. Well, it's not a race problem. Theft is theft. Fraud is fraud. Money laundering is money laundering. It's all bad. And, you know, someone might say, well, I live in Idaho. I live in, you know, Kellerman, Arkansas, you know, Alabama. I don't, that doesn't bother me. Well, they were taking federal, bad enough they're taking state and local money in that state to do this. They were also receiving federal funds. And at the federal level, that means all of us had our taxes used in this way. And this should upset every legal American in this country, and or people who pay taxes who work in this country. And so why is the other thing, how Travis, does this align to veterans, military, and all that stuff? Well, again, I raised my right hand, said all enemies, foreign, domestic. So we all serve with the idea that we are having a place in our homes, our communities, and at the state and federal level where the rule of law will be imposed, our people will be safe, our children will be safe, and Americans will have what they need to be able to create opportunities and have the kind of life they want to have. At baseline. Okay. And, you know, for veterans, I have been told that, you know, hey, you know, oh, Trav, we've looked at the state budget and there's hard getting money for this. It's hard getting money for that. The federal budget, you know, it's hard doing that. Like, in Massachusetts, you know, we can't give, you know, the only people that get tax abatements of $1,400 a veteran are people who are 100% disabled. You know, if you're 20%, 10%, 3%, sorry, you're just out of luck. But if you're 100%, you get, you know, a $1,400 tax abatement. And Trav, that's just the most we can do. If we did any more than that, we would have financial problems. We just couldn't do that. It's just hard for us to do this. And we feel we're being really generous by giving a veteran who is 100% disabled a $1,400 tax abatement on their home. We can't do it for vehicles. You got to pay that excise tax, whether you drive that car 10 miles a week or 100 miles a day. We want that excise tax paid. Oh, that veteran's trying to go to, you know, Suffolk University or Bunker Hill and takes a commuter rail, and they're only, you know, 50% disabled, 20% disabled. Yeah, we're not going to help them out until they get to 70% disabled. Because if we gave every veteran a break on their commuter rail pass, oh, that would put us into dire straits. And then housing, oh my God. There's no money available to build housing. The federal government just can't do that. There's just not enough money coming from the federal government for us to build housing for veterans or training centers for veterans. We just can't do it. We just can't do it. Okay. So I hear that at the state and federal level, getting money for veterans to better their lives or, you know, do voc rehab type programs or to, you know, understand licensing if maybe they were a heavy equipment operator in the military and they're trying to get their you know license or their state certification so they can, you know, drive, you know, excavators and loaders, all that kind of stuff. You know, there's no money for that. Okay, there's no money for that. But there's $9 billion for population groups that may or may not be legal, you know, entrance here to this country to run daycare centers and autism centers, like 20 in a building. If you look at different heat maps of the number of daycare and autism centers in like the Twin Cities in Minnesota, you got to scratch your head and wondering, like, you know, what is going on? I know it's the land of 10,000 lakes, but oh my God. I mean, what's going on here? Is everybody in Minnesota, you know, autistic or what's in the water? I mean, moms are just having kids like left and right. I mean, there must be thousands of babies rolling through these centers every day. No problem getting them money. No problem giving them money and with no oversight. No problem giving them money with no oversight and never asking for attestation or validation of the money spent, nothing. These places were literally, you could see that these places were not being used by the fact that the parking lots in these places were not plowed, were not safe. You know, there was no outdoor, you know, equipment for the kids to play on, nothing. And no one raised an issue. I take that back. It's my understanding that this is not the first time this has come to the fore. It's just now it's got some steam. Enough Minnesotans got upset that they finally got heard and people said enough's enough. And so here's the thing. Here's why I'm kind of, you know, in my rant tonight, if you will, or in my feelings or emotions. I do not want to hear how there's not enough money for active duty veterans, family support, transition support, housing support, medical support, whatever, that a veteran can't get a wheelchair, can't get a ramp built, has to take a home improvement loan to get their house redone because they got injured and wounded and they can't walk around that well. And so they need, you know, their house to be reconfigured. I don't tell me there's not enough money. If you can give $9 billion to people in that area, in that population group with no oversight, there is money to take care of our veterans. Okay? There is money. I don't want to hear that excuse anymore. And again, okay, let's just say that money was earmarked for veterans. I've got no problem saying, hey, you know, if we have a program for veterans, that you should monitor that program. A lot of these programs are. Again, if you run a veteran nonprofit, you know what I'm talking about. You raise over $50,000, you've got to account for every penny of it. If you don't file the right piece of paperwork at the right time, you're in big trouble. And oh yeah, this, well, all my files got stolen and I have no files, no memory. The computers are all gone. It's all gone. Nothing's there. Wouldn't work. Because the burden of expectation on you is that you, the nonprofit head, will have this either, you know, stored somewhere electronically or in a file cabinet and can produce it at any time. But someone's actually getting on national TV and saying that their stuff got stolen and everybody's just buying it. Really? Really? It just absolutely has taken my view of things and skewed them slightly. It has. We have plenty of money for veterans. It's just not used for veterans. And I don't apologize for this. To me, if you are not an American citizen, you should not be put in front of line or an American or somebody who served our country. You just shouldn't. You shouldn't be moved to the front of the line. How is that happening? Why are some nonprofits having to struggle so hard to raise funds to take care of veterans in their area of operation with little to no support from the federal government? Why am I told that, you know what? Oh, sorry, we the government can't do anything to, you know, get mobility vans for veterans. But some daycare can write off a van, buy one, write it off, and keep pocketing the money. It makes no sense. So, again, it really bothers me, but I also don't want to hear the excuse anymore. And I also want anybody who was involved with this to go to jail. And if people are saying, you know, we just hit the tip of the iceberg. Great. Let's keep going. Let's find out what's going on across this country and get our money straight. So we're not the laughingstock of the world. And I don't want to hear about how we have this big, huge new aircraft carrier, this new capability. We can't keep our money straight. Our enemies are taking our money, our resources, and laughing at us, and they're not having to raise a weapon to do it at all. So I could rant on about this all night long. I don't want to do that, but that's kind of how I feel in my feelings. And My patience for this is just at an all-time low. So I want to end the second half of this on where do I think veterans advocacy is going to go in the next couple of years. I'm pleased to say what I think is happening is more and more veterans are finding ways to come together. And I appreciate the work of the American Legion, the VFW, and Vets, the DAV. I appreciate those organizations, the Marine Corps League. But I also think that what's going to happen here in the next couple of years is we're going to see the era of the influencer, not just in the veteran space, but everywhere, kind of diminish. And I think the next thing is building either new communities online or in other places where, you know, maybe you're into kayaking, maybe you're into, you know, AI business, maybe you're into cybersecurity, whatever you're into as a veteran, building a community around other veterans who are into that thing is going to be the next big thing. And then after that, it will be taking all these communities and uniting together to make change at the national level. So, you know, things like Discord have changed the game. Things like school have changed the game. Facebook almost had it right with groups until they really cracked down on it. But that's what I think is going to happen. I think it's going to be where, hey, you know what? We have a veterans, you know, video game group. We all meet on Friday night from, you know, 7 to midnight. Hop in, do this. Let's talk about your gaming rigs, your builds, so on and so forth. There'll be a community for business owners. You know, and you'll have people who serve their country, start their own businesses, come in and contribute to that community and be a part of what you're trying to do. I think that is really the next phase. It's not big events. It's not necessarily fundraisers. It's about the community after service or community of service after service. So maybe you served in the military and you get out, and I was there too, where you kind of like, excuse me, let's dry cough. Wait a minute. Polar. Yeah, it's really dry here. I should have got the pipes ready to go. I think whatever you have, people who can build these communities out virtually or in person are really going to be the next force multipliers for veterans. I really believe that. And then the next phase of that will be taking somebody who might be in one community and linking up with somebody else in a very different community and find alignment and support for each other. And I think once we get to that level, we're going to be able to really scale what we are doing as veterans and move things forward. It's going to be an exciting time. And I'd also say, hey, don't discount the American Legion, VFW. Don't do that. I think these organizations still have value. I think if you're able to join one of these organizations and contribute, it's a great way to be connected. Some of our older brothers and sisters might not be as technically savvy as we are. That's fine. I love hanging out with my Vietnam era veteran brothers and sisters, hearing those stories, understanding that they saw things that we could never even imagine. And the other thing too is they lived through a time where America changed forever. They lived it. They certainly lived it, and I would like to see them know that they still have a place at the table and that we value and honor them. And you think about it, right? You know, we going into year 10 of doing Oscar Mike Radio. When I first started Oscar Mike Radio, there were maybe a couple veteran podcasters, and now there's thousands of them. And people ask me all the time, well, are you a little like jealous or upset that, you know, you've worked in this space for so long and these new people are coming up and just, you know, taking parts of what you do? And no, I'm not. I say the more the merrier. you know, it's kind of easy if you're in this space to think there's a lot of veterans podcasters. There's really not. We'll know that we're getting somewhere as a veteran content creator space when Spotify, Apple, and Google give us Blueberry, give us our own veteran category. And, you know, I'd be totally cool with like Spotify saying, hey, you know what, we're going to link to ID.me. And if you want to be a verified military, you know, veteran content creator for our platform, you know, we're going to run an ID.me check on you. Okay, yep. We see you got DD-214. Here's your discharge status, verified veteran. When we get to that point, that's when I think we can start saying, okay, cool. Because that will mean that we have enough voices unified in maybe different things, different lanes, but in the same direction to move things forward. It's going to be exciting. And I think it's really cool seeing some of our active duty brothers and sisters making content while they serve. I'm all for it. That would not have happened when I served at all. It wouldn't even be allowed. And while I think you got to be careful about what you share with the world, I think giving Americans a perspective into what the experience is like and what's expected is a good thing. You know, these are ambassadors for, you know, the kind of people we want to join the military. So again, you know, yeah, I'm going into year 10 of Oscar Mike Radio. I'm 6 months away from my 10th birthday, if you will. I wish I was 10 again, but I'm really excited. It's like, yeah, I've done a whole lot and I've had a lot of success, but I really think my focus for OMR and things like OMR is to now create a community and see what happens. Yeah, I'm going to do the podcast. I'll always do the podcast, but now here's a community of people who they might not listen to every podcast. They might not understand what's going on, but we all align. And if there's a way that I can get us all in the same room and we can share with each other what works and what doesn't, and we can support each other where they are, well, great. Fantastic. Let's do it. And, you know, this is going to require me to do new and different things. But, you know, to me, you have to do new and different stuff in order to grow. It's why one reason that I'm starting to, you know, I'm studying for my Part 107 for flying drones. So I can start incorporating drone footage into my shows when I do anything. You know, I'm at a person's business. I'm at a person's, you know, place where they're having an event. I can take drone footage and incorporate in that in there and, you know, do something different. It's always about pushing the envelope forward and making sure that I can. So, and again, tonight's perfect example. I think I have everything planned out and ready to go. And it's kind of like, I do like this like little screen here. It's not the virtual background I usually use. It's kind of like, it's Travis in studio. And it's kind of cool. But I thought I had my audio in check. I could hear everything. But the platform did not pick up my mic until I left the session and came back in. I thought I had it. I made a mistake. I'll learn from it. And that's the thing I want to leave everybody with. A lot of people are scared to start their podcasts or their blogs or their, you know, do some reels about veteran stuff or anything really. And like, we're going to make mistakes. You're not going to be perfect. You would have to have a lot of money and people behind you to get the kind of quality that, you know, some of these big names have. Joe Rogan does not do his whole podcast by himself. He has people helping him with several different parts of it. They put all together. He understands what the expectation is and goes out there and executes it and does it very well. I'm not that. You're not going to be that for a while. So you're going to make mistakes. I'm going to make mistakes. You got to own it. You have to own it. So don't be afraid to make a mistake. Believe in yourself and go out there and just start. And that's where this has been. And, you know, again, going into year number, you know, where we turned, 10 this year, is I had to be willing to make mistakes, be willing to learn, take criticism. You know, I love the attaboys. Thank you very much. But there's some things I do well and there's some things I don't. And I'm still working to improve and I still have a lot to learn. But the cool thing is, and I tell people all the time, when I started podcasting, a setup like this was, you know, $10,000. Now you can get a setup like this for around a grand if you do it right. It's really kind of like the barrier to entry is low. And you can literally use your cell phone to make a great show if you know what you're doing. And I think you need to understand too, video is here to stay. I know for a while there, a lot of podcasts were like, well, if they're purist, you know, only audio is the way. And I'm like, hey, audio is the building block of everything we do. Absolutely. You've got to learn audio before you can do video. But video is where it's at. It's only getting bigger and it's only getting cheaper and easier to do. Like I'm looking at the new Zoom M2 mic. And I'm like, wow, man, that thing in the right space, I would have to bring my Zoom H6, my mics, my cables, all that. And it can just do it in a normal microphone for $200. You know, this is getting easier and easier to do. So if you have a mic like that and a cell phone on a tripod, and you know, have an idea of what to do with some video editing software, you're 90% there. It's absolutely crazy. And I tell people, look, I mean, when I first started doing video in 2019, it was my Zoom H6, and I'd have a mic for me and a mic for the other person, or a shotgun mic. I'd have, you know, my cameras set up. I had to time all that stuff up. It's a tripod for the camera, a tripod for the mics, cables, power, storage, the whole nine yards. It was a trunk full of stuff. And literally, this new microphone I'm looking at is, you know, not this size, but you get what I'm saying, is going to allow me to do interviews like this in a camera, and I'm all set. So I'm excited. You can get into podcasting very, very easily. And I'd be remiss if I didn't give a big shout out to my favorite student of podcasting, Nancy Morrison with the Nancy's Nook podcast. That's Nancy's Nook podcast. You can't miss it. And she's done amazing. She's almost at 20 episodes now. I'm so proud of her. Nancy, you've hung in there. You've worked this. You've gotten good at it. And I cannot wait to see where you go next. But she started off very, very easy. It's the whole crawl, walk, run thing. So again, I am excited to keep learning. I'm excited to keep doing. I have some ideas of things I want to do and where I want to go with the show and how I want to do different things differently, how I want to do things better. And I can tell you the rule is still the same. You can still come here and, you know, have the kind of show you want on your terms. Just do the work and believe in yourself. So I shouldn't say so. That's a filler word. I gotta make sure that I don't do that anymore. And yes, I'm correcting myself on air, but I gotta improve in that regard, because a lot of times, you know what it is? I pre-record everything and edit all this stuff out. But doing it live is a different feel. And I think that's one thing that I might try to do is I might try to do more of these lives on a regular basis, so I get that live TV, live show feel, and, you know, practice the stuff without the benefit of editing, because editing, you know, is something that I've gotten very good at and can do a lot with it. But it's all fun. I'm going to close with this, whether it's a podcast, a business, a nonprofit, something in arts, something in a hobby or a mission or a bucket list item. You can get started anytime and you can change your life anytime. And I'm not saying you're going to be the best at whatever you choose to do or make a ton of money. But if you really believe in what you're going to do and you're doing it for the right reason, what you're going to get out of whatever you pursue is going to not only change your life, but will change others' lives. So I would just encourage you to believe in yourself, but take action. Okay. Have the motivation to do the discipline and have it all bound up with belief, and you can't go wrong. And that's really the theme for Oscar Mike Radio in 2026 is we are seeing the results of belief. And I said this before, and I say it again as I close this down. I believe in you. Thank you very much. Good night. Safe travels. Happy New Year. We're mission in flight.